Welcome to The Divorce Social with me, Samantha Baines, changing the conversation around divorce. This show is sponsored by Penguin in the Room. Penguin in the Room is an award-winning arts marketing and social media management company. If you want to jazz up your socials and have someone Instagram and tweet for you, then here's your answer. Go to www.penguinintheroom.com. As always, hit subscribe to make sure you're updated about new episodes. And we love to hear from you on social media at DivorcePod and at Samantha Baines. You can also email us. All the info's on our website, thedivorcesocial.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
I am joined by impressionist, singer and comedian Jess Robinson. Hi.
Hello.
Welcome to the Divorce Club.
Thank you. I'm very pleased to be in it, really. Life's much better now.
Is it? Oh, good. Because I was going to say, how does that feel when I say to you, you're divorced?
Lovely. It feels triumphant and full of justice and freedom and skipping into the sunset.
That's such a nice way to look at it. I love it. Justice. What does that mean?
Justice means, ha, I'm glad I went, ha.
Great. So how long have you been divorced?
So I'm really mature about it. Now then, 2015, I think, happened. 5 years.
2015, when you got the divorce certificate or when you separated?
Oh, now. When did I get, I got the divorce certificate. No, right. I don't know about dates. This is terrible. It was my second Edinburgh show. No, my third Edinburgh. It was my third Edinburgh. When did I do my third Edinburgh? Because that's when I made a show about it and was very pleased with myself. But it's also in denial. Okay, so 2015, I left him. 2016, I got the divorce through.
So you're the one who left.
Yeah, but I left. But I jumped before I was pushed, I think.
So what was the process like for you of that divorce? So it only took a year for you to get divorced, which is quite quick.
Yeah, I think actually in the end it was 6 months door to door.
That's very quick.
Door to door. So I came home one day and he said, I don't think I love you anymore. And I was like, what? Where has this come from? And then I asked him whether there was anyone else and he said no. I've since found out that there probably was maybe quite a few actually through the relationship. I thought maybe he was having a nervous breakdown. We'd only been married 18 months, but we'd been together for about 8 years. And he was quite an anxious person. So that was maybe in April. Then I went off in June and did Glastonbury, and I went and did an Edinburgh show. And then after Edinburgh, in the September of 2015, we went on a holiday. It was like a sort of a make or break holiday. And I had sort of just been pushing all of this worry to the back, and things were sort of normal, but he was very quiet, wasn't really speaking to me very much. And I remember his brother and sister-in-law were with us on the holiday. And they said, it's like he's punishing you. He's not speaking to you. Why is he acting so strangely? And blah, blah, blah. And then they went and we were sort of left and it was so awkward. We went out for dinner in Menorca and he was being so strange. And I said, oh, look, what would happen if we split up? And I just said it. And as soon as I said it, it was like a tiny little ray of sunshine poked into my heart. And I was like, oh my God, yes, this is what I've always wanted. I mean, where did that come from? I thought I was just happily married to my best mate. And then later on that evening, he said, oh, don't say that, don't say that. And then later on that evening, he said, we were having a very honest conversation. We were just driving back to the villa where we were staying. And he said, I don't find you sexually attractive and I never have.
What? That is cruel.
Yeah, it was cruel, wasn't it? At which point, we got back to the villa. I sat in an empty bath and called my mum from the bathroom. I'd locked myself in and said, Mummy, please, can I come home now? Because she knew there were problems. So she was trying to, you know, everyone was going, oh, it's fine. He's probably just having, you know, everybody gets stressed sometimes. Anyway, mum said, yes, come home immediately. So packed my bags. I got the next flight home. Mum and dad picked me up from the airport on the Sunday night. On Monday, I called my therapist and said, I don't know what to do. And I think he said, I think you do know what you want. So on Tuesday, I went to my solicitor and filed for a divorce. And that night, when I was writing all my reasons for unreasonable behaviour, I hacked into his email accounts and found lots of quite dark stuff that had been going on behind my back that I didn't know about. And about 5 minutes into that, my sister turned up on the doorstep, all teary-eyed, because she just left her husband as well. Just complete coincidence. My mum was sitting in the kitchen with a bottle of brandy, which was getting lower and lower and lower and lower and lower. And by the Friday, the divorce papers were filed and that was it. Gone, done, goodbye.
That's so quick.
Yeah.
Wow.
There was a big part of me, I realised, that had been ignoring wrong things for a long time and trying to compromise about things and thinking, well, no relationship's perfect. But there was a lot of stuff that I hadn't been telling my mum about. And hadn't been telling my friends about or confiding in anyone about, which was now, when I say it out loud, so wrong and so unhealthy. And I think, you know, I often thought privately to myself, I don't know if I'll be able to do this forever. And so when that tiny little spark, that chink of light appeared, I was like, I'm out of here. If you're not going to love me like I deserve, I'm out of here.
That's so interesting, because so many of those things that you've just said, I'm like, oh my God, I 100% really? Relate. Like, yeah, like for a long time, I think both of us really were kind of thinking privately to ourselves, this isn't right. And like, you know, I don't feel happy. But then on the outside, you're like, everything's fine. And everyone's like, oh, you're such a great couple. And you're like, yeah.
Yes, you're meant to be together. You're like two peas in a pod.
Yeah. I remember my friend said, like, you're such a perfect couple. Yeah. You're like,
yeah,
you're what I strive to be. And that stayed with me so long. So I was like,
right,
well, if my friend thinks that, then that must be true.
Yeah.
So I need to believe that, even though I didn't.
Absolutely.
I'm worried about it. And I think, yeah, when me and my ex started communicating for the first time, because our individual counsellors made us talk to each other, it was the kind of ray of sunshine of like, I don't want to do this. And we both had that feeling.
Wow.
But I love a make or break holiday. We had one in Italy.
Did you?
Yeah, we didn't call it that at the time. But looking back, it was like, do we still even like each other? Let's go away for 2 weeks and find out.
Right.
And we had a lovely time as well, but there were definitely awkward moments. Because I think when you're on holiday, it's just you and them.
Yeah.
And like, you don't watch TV in the evenings or whatever. You go out to dinner. So
you have to talk. You have to. Oh, God.
So your divorce process is much quicker than mine, 6 months.
Yeah.
And so you filed for divorce and then how quickly, because it was unreasonable behaviour.
Yeah.
So how many forms do you have to fill in for that? How quickly does it happen? Did you have a house together or anything?
Yes, we had a house. I was really, is bombastic the right word? Probably not. I don't know.
It's a great word.
I know. I just felt like saying it. It's probably the first time in 2020 I've ever used that word. I moved him out before he'd even come back from the holiday, out of the house. Then I said, you've got a day to come and get your stuff when I'm not going to be here.
I love how organized you are in turmoil. I was just on the floor crying.
I did that later and I did some off the rails things, man. But in that first bit, once I'm quite impulsive, and once I've made a decision, I'm impatient and I'm just like, I've got to get this done. So yeah, we moved him out the house, bagged up all his stuff, put it in sacks. He could just come and take it or whatever. And I put the house on the market. He didn't have a clue about mortgages or, you know, he didn't deal with any of that stuff. This sums him up, really. I said, should we go in your car or mine? And he said, let's go in yours. And I said, okay, I just need to get my makeup case from your car. I said, practice, husband, it's not there. And then he finally admitted to me that 4 weeks previously, I don't know what I've been doing with my makeup for all that time. 4 weeks previously, it had been towed away and it was in the car pound or whatever. And he just hadn't told me. And there was a big debt. And he'd just not told me, just madness.
So he was just pretending that his car was...
He just never said anything. It was a huge, oh dear, what did I do? So yeah, so I put the house on the market and blah, blah, blah. And this is how naive he was. We had a trust deed, which is where I put more money into the house. So that means I get more out than he does when it's sold, that sort of thing. And he was so naive. He said, well, I've just been on the phone to the estate agent and they said we should split it two ways. I was like, what's it got to do with the estate agent? That's how silly he was.
Wow. Not even a solicitor, the estate agent.
Not even just the estate agent.
Maybe they're great for advice. We don't know.
That sounds so bitter, don't I? I still have a hanger there.
Yeah, well, it's understandable. I feel because I have a similar time frame to you, I guess, in that we were together overall for 8 years, but we were only married for like a year and a half.
Right.
And we've been split up for nearly 2 years now. But right. I keep getting posts with his name on. It makes me so angry.
Oh, that was the worst thing, actually, I found. I changed my name. And so when I left him, I was still getting some posts for Mrs. Practice Husband. And I did not want to be Mrs. Practice Husband anymore. Thank you so much. Changed my own name back to my name by deed poll, just so I could be Jess Robinson again. That's the worst thing about it.
Well, name changing.
Not to be me.
It's so hard. I mean, I didn't realize how important my surname was to me until I was married. And then he wanted me to change my name to his. And then all of a sudden, I'd always thought I'd just do it. And then all of a sudden, I was like, I don't want to do it. I really like Baines. I want to keep it. So I changed my Tesco club card to kind of placate him. And then we had a joint account, and on the joint account I was his surname, and then I had another account with that same bank. But what I found incredible is that I didn't, obviously you get married and that's a legal document, but I didn't I just filled to set up this bank account in my married name, I just filled out a form and said that was my name. And they, no one like checked, they just set up the account. But then to change it back to your maiden name, which I still have, like my passport's still in my maiden name and all that important stuff, I never officially changed my name. Yeah. It's so complicated.
Oh.
And it just seems like a weird, like, it's how is like it so easy to set that up?
Your greatest punishment, isn't it? It's the most, I mean, the admin involved in that is worse than the divorce forms.
Yeah, I mean, if
it's
you have
so annoying.
Did you have any moments like mine with the name changing that made me so angry? Like after, like the admin of it after the divorce?
Yes, the admin of changing my name back was really angry making. Also, he dared to say, "Who's going to have the sofa?"
Wow.
Wow. I sat in the car and I screamed at him that I'd married a monster when he asked that.
What level of sofa?
I'd marry a monster. It was just a sofa.
Was it velvet? Like what pattern
no,
are we talking?
It was no. beige. It was beige. It wasn't even exciting. It went to the tip after that.
I was
going to
say, do you still have the sofa? No.
Absolutely not. That was a very cleansing thing, actually. I moved, when I managed to move into a new flat, it was very cleansing to throw away nearly every single thing of his, or that we had shared together, or that had any memory at all.
Yeah, it's such I've slowly been replacing things, and I put a couple of gifts that we got for our wedding on eBay, and it felt really fun. I was like, I'm making money. It was like £7, but still, I was like wrapping it up to post, like, ha ha ha. There are funny moments like that. So how did the aftermath of the divorce work for you? And you said you did a show about it.
Yeah. Most people were saying, Jess, I think this is next year's show. And I was like, no, I'm doing it now. I'm telling my story. And I did it in the five stages of grief. And the finale of the show was acceptance, although I hadn't accepted it yet. I spent that Edinburgh in a haze of self-righteousness, anger, sadness, and tequila. But I got 5 stars, all worth it.
Amazing. That's the marker. Get reviewed on your grief.
I spent maybe about 6 months living with mum and dad. Once we'd sold the flat, sold it very fast. By the spring, I'd bought a little flat and moved in above a charity shop. Again, quite an impulsive move, because you had to walk down an alley, a service alley, to get up to the flat, and there were rats and drug dealers. But I was cool. I was fine.
But you had your own place.
It was my own place, my little nest. And that was very good, actually, when I was doing the cleansing of getting rid of all the stuff. Living above a charity shop, brilliant. Just chuck it down the stairs. It's there for them. British Heart Foundation. I really know. With my broken heart, I supported many other broken hearts.
Lovely. Full circle.
Yeah.
But how was it moving in with your parents after? Because how old were you?
I was 30 and I regressed to being a teenager. There was one day when, I mean, I went so stupidly off the rails some days. I went to meet some friends in Victoria and we were in Wetherspoons, and I said I've got to make it back for the last train, because my mum and dad live in the sticks. And so I made it back for the last train, but obviously was so drunk I fell asleep and ended up in Northampton at the end of the line. My phone had run out of charge. Mum and dad were really worried because they had been waiting at the station for me to come in at midnight. Mum thought I was dead on the track somewhere. They went home, they got a call then from I got woken up by the conductor on the train in Northampton. "All right, love, you all right?" And I went, "Oh, where am I?" And he said, "You're in Northampton." And I said, "Oh, what time does the next train go?" And he said, "No, it's the end of the line. You know, there aren't any more trains going." And I went, "Oh no, I just got divorced."
Perfect moment to share the divorce story.
He put me in a taxi. I had to pay £80 to get back to my mum and dad's. And mum really shouted at me the next morning, said, I don't want you to be volatile like your father. My dad had a drinking problem when they first met, but he's fine now. And at 8 a.m. that morning, apparently, there was a phone call from the train conductor just to see if I was all right.
Bless him.
Really good, huh?
Really nice. Thanks, train conductor.
Thanks, train conductor from Northampton.
So do you think, because I think I went off the rails a bit as well.
Yeah.
I don't like to call it off the rails. I like to call it my excited to be free stage.
Yeah.
Where I just had a lovely time and lots of lovely sexual experiences also.
I doubled my numbers.
Because I remember when I got married, it was a thing where you were like, how many people have you slept with? Because that's only the amount of people you're going to sleep with for the rest of your life because you're getting married now.
Yeah.
And then you get divorced and you're like, oh, no way.
Hang on a minute. Yeah.
So how was that process? Because obviously when someone tells you that they don't love you anymore, which is, you know, and which happened to me as well, even though I was sort of saying the same thing back, it still kind of shakes you and affects your, well, affected my self-confidence. Mm. And I think part of my new foray into freedom and having a nice time was kind of getting back to me and feeling sexy again and feeling empowered.
Yeah, I didn't realize.
How did you find that process?
I didn't realize how long I had not felt like a woman for. I didn't feel loved. I didn't feel sensual. We hardly ever had sex towards the end. And if we did, he didn't want to look at me like, why wouldn't you want to look at me? Silly Willy. it was amazing to feel desired again and to be sexually awakened, I guess. I discovered lots of other things about myself that I hadn't ever really known that side of myself. It was a very exciting time to go, no, this is me now, and I'm turning over a new leaf, and how exciting and brilliant, fantastic to get a second chance.
Is there anything that you think that you really learned through that divorce that you'll like always take with you into future? Obviously, you're happily married now.
I am. I learned not to ignore things and not to betray myself like that ever again. Not to willfully ignore wrong things and to try and just go along with things to make somebody else happy. I also learned how resilient I am, and I'm still really pleased with myself for going, right, no, thank you, that's it, house on the market, get divorced, goodbye, you're gone. I've been thinking recently, so towards the end of the relationship, I never wanted kids particularly, and I remember saying to him, you know, well, never say never, and he said, no, I'm saying never. And I remember the lovely feeling when I left him as well of going, oh, I've got the option.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
And I still don't know if I do want children. I don't think I do, but I don't like not having the option. I don't want someone to say, no, I say never to me. So it is just like, I'm pleased with my strength and my grit and being able to reinvent myself and make light of the really terribly dark, shitty times I was in. I think I learned strength from it, or learned my own strength. Yeah.
And do you remember one of those particularly dark times? Was there a moment, like for me, it was crying on my mum's kitchen floor and just
oh, yes.
And then just staring, like, and my mum was like, oh my God, she's like a zombie.
I did crying on the in front of the Arga.
Oh, lovely.
Give
warm
an, give me an insight. I also remember crying when my mum and sister had left me for the night in my new flat in the cold light of day, and it was all rainy and it was just an empty flat, and I sit in the middle of the floor and I cried and said, look what you've made me become, or something. Look where I am. And it felt really desolate and grey and sad and empty. And I actually had some very happy times in that flat, but I couldn't believe what had happened when I finally was sitting in this new place, this new alien place, all empty and dusty.
And then in contrast to that, do you remember a moment where you thought, oh, everything's going to be okay, I'm glad that I've got divorced?
Yeah, there are lots of those. I'll tell you when, actually, one of the best times of my life was doing, so I think I managed to, I moved them out, the house was sold, everything done, and then I did Panto in November. So September, I came home from the holiday. November, the flat was sold. And
that's so funny. We broke up in September, and then in October I started on Magic
there
Mike.
You go. It's there you go.
Do a play. That's our advice.
Do a play. I did a pantomime. It was so much fun. It was so brilliant. And I've made some friends for life from that panto as well, actually. It was doing that. I felt open and free and liberated, and I was doing a lot of Tinder dates. God, I mean, men are very stupid, some, aren't they?
Some women are quite stupid as well.
Yeah, that's very true.
But some men on Tinder are horrific.
Oh, I went on some terrible dates with completely... One man looked like an egg. There was another man that...
Just his head or his whole body looked like an egg?
His whole body was a bit like an egg, really. I went for some completely inappropriate types, or just, I was just trying to find people that were opposite to practice husband, see what that was like. Yeah. And then at the point that I went, no, this is it. I'm not dating anymore. I've had enough. That's when I met true husband.
I love that you call them practice husband and true husband. Where has that come from? Or is it just something that naturally evolved?
I just started calling him practice husband immediately after I left him. It was just, that was it. He was practice husband. I didn't even use his actual name for about 4 years. He was just called practice husband. And Mum refers to it as my practice marriage. Well, remember at your practice marriage, you did this. So probably for your new wedding, you don't want to do that.
I love it. I might call mine practice husband. Is that okay?
You can have it. Yeah, of course.
I'll be like, because I got this from Jess.
Yeah. I tell you what, though, by saying practice husband immediately, I didn't realise until now, but I guess I was going, well, that wasn't it. That wasn't my chance. That means I'm going to have a proper one. I knew that something else happy would happen. And he was just practice.
Yeah, that's such a nice way of like preparing yourself for the future and future love.
Yeah.
Of being like, well, that was the practice. Now I'm ready for the real thing.
Yeah.
Let's go. And how was internet dating? Because obviously I've been internet dating. And when I got with my practice husband, love it. When I got with my practice husband, internet dating wasn't like a thing. That were like app dating, like Tinder wasn't invented yet.
Same.
So I had to rediscover all those things. And actually I was like, this is kind of amazing because it's like a little black book of people that you haven't slept with yet.
I didn't know there were any left. I remember when I was with practice, friends that were doing internet dating and Tinder, I was so jealous of.
Yeah, I remember that
too. I thought, oh, that looks so fun. Oh, no, let me do your profile. Oh, but look, you can meet him or him or him. And actually, when it came down to it.
Yeah, I used to go on their accounts and then, like, swipe people. Yeah.
But in the end, it got really tiresome and it's just more bloody admin, isn't it?
Yeah. And then
meeting disappointing people who aren't who they say they are.
Oh, do you have any particularly memorable dates apart from the egg man?
There was one guy who I think did property development. He was so boring. And then he asked me to come back to his flat and I said, he asked me if I wanted to come and see a flat that he'd been developing. And I was like, no. No, I don't think so.
On the date.
It's really weird.
Did you get involved in all these modern things like sexting? Sexy FaceTime.
I didn't do that, but I did get somebody who sent me a picture of his dick. And then sent it by accident. I've had dick pics and I just don't, I remember this. Right. So there's this guy that I was having a flirty sort of texting thing with, sort of a friend of a friend. And he sent me a picture of his penis and he'd written sweet dreams on it.
Like on the picture, on his penis?
On the picture along the shaft, he'd written sweet dreams.
That is,
I mean,
horrific. Also, can you imagine him just sitting at home with that photo in an editor, like trying to get it at the right angle?
So awful. I don't want to see that. I don't think it's sexy. I don't. There was this one guy, though, I remember this. He sent me a picture of his angry red penis. And then immediately, 2 seconds later, he wrote and went, I'm so sorry, wrong person.
Whoa.
And then sent it again about 3 minutes later and went, I'm so sorry, wrong person again.
I think that's just his way of sending unsolicited dick pics.
Oh.
They do always look angry, though,
very
don't they?
Very angry.
Penises.
Quite threatening.
Yeah. I'm always really concerned with the decor in a picture. Because I feel like I have a friend and he had broken up with someone at the same time as me. So we were both like internet dating and we both got sent dick pics and he's gay. So his dick pics were like beautifully lit. Like, I know it sounds stereotypical, but they actually were like beautifully lit. And there was like a made.com £300 rug in the background. And mine were like, one of them, the guy was sitting on a white leather sofa. And so I was judging him already, rightly or wrongly.
Of course you were.
And then the rug in the background was so disgusting. It looked like it had never been cleaned.
Oh, yuck.
And that was all I could focus on.
Well,
because if I had a penis and I was like wanking or taking a picture of my penis in that environment, all I would be able to think about is that I needed to wash the rug or buy a new rug. Like, I don't know how it...
And wipe the sofa.
Yeah. I don't know how he managed to get it up in that environment and take a photo of it.
Ugh.
So, yeah, it's quite... There are some quite stressful things about internet dating.
Yes. Very stressful.
But now you're...
Very stressful.
Now you're happily married.
Yes.
And you're recently married, which is exciting. So did... Do you think going into that new relationship, did you take lessons from your practice husband, and were you scared to enter into another marriage?
Yeah, I was really scared, and I kept my name, Robinson. That was one thing I took with me. I'm not changing my name ever again, although now I'm all happy and it's all lovely, and I kind of think, should I change my name? Should we make it a double barrel? Maybe we will, but not on any legal documents. I'll keep him a passport. I was very scared, very cautious. So was he. He had been through a horrible divorce as well. So we both felt like we'd been betrayed, and we were both a bit fragile, but both really understood each other and how sacred this relationship is, and had to make it really hard to trust each other and feel safe.
Yeah.
But we do. We're very good at communicating and talking about things. And on paper, I never would have thought, you know, when all the Tinder dates and things like that, I was going for people my sort of age, that liked the sort of things that I like, no children, nothing like that. And he's 13 years older than me, and now I've got an 8-year-old stepson, which I had never imagined, never thought that would be right for me, but it's lovely.
And how have you navigated that? Because obviously, presumably, was the stepson part of the original, his original marriage?
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
So he's forever, I guess, because I've spoken to parents on the podcast who've been divorced, and they always say the thing is they can't escape their ex because they're forever
that
connected
must
to them.
So hard. I'm so glad I didn't have children, and it is very difficult sometimes for my husband to just keep that part of his ex in his life, because he's reminded every time he sees her, and it's someone that really betrayed you and did you a terrible wrong. But you've got to be civil, and you've got to be nice, and you've got to get on for the sake of the child. And it's been really terrible and difficult. And he's very graceful.
What's it like being a stepmom? Because obviously in movies and stuff, it's always the wicked stepmother. But obviously you're not very wicked, you're lovely.
No, he calls me his cheeky stepmom.
That's nice.
Yeah, he's such a sweetie. I think the less I really try, the more I am just myself and just communicate with him like I would a friend, or, you know, because I'm quite childish anyway. the easier it is. And he loves playing with me, and he wants, you know, we have laughs and we're a bit silly together, and it's nice. It's been quite a slowly sort of thing, but I think I'm his friend, and that's great. That's good enough for me, I think, that he thinks of me as a friend.
What's the relationship like with your husband's ex? Because I've spoken to a lot of mothers on the podcast that find that quite difficult if their ex-husband has a new partner and then they're looking after their children, and it's like another woman looking after their children. So how is that from the other side of you being the stepmom?
Well, I would like to meet up with her and go for a coffee and get to know her, but that's definitely not something that she would like. I've met her twice when we were doing the sort of drop-off handover on Christmas Day. I got out of the car, and it was the first time I'd ever seen her, and I put my hand out and shook her hand, said, "Hi, I'm Jess." It's lovely to meet you. Merry Christmas. And she sort of shook my hand and sort of thrust it back at me and said, oh, hello, hello. And that was it, really. And that's it.
Yeah. And do you have any advice for anyone who's in your situation? So, you know, being a new kind of a stepmom, a new partner to someone who has a child already in their life?
I think just go gently and be open and don't expect the child to love you straight away. And you're not his mummy. You're not a replacement, but be a friend and be supportive and don't push things. Just let them come to you, I guess, and just be open and smiley and warm and friendly and safe, a safe person to be around.
That's good advice. I'll remember that if I meet someone with a little one.
So now you are happily married.
Yeah.
And sort of have this new life, I guess. Mm-hmm. How do you view your practice husband? Do you see that as a sort of different you, a different chapter?
I hadn't come out of my chrysalis yet. I'm amazed at what I put up with. I went over the top in trying to be loyal and allowing and liberal and, you know, supportive. See, my true husband wouldn't ask things of me because that what happened was so unreasonable. He wouldn't ask those things of me. So I'm with someone entirely different who respects me. And I just look back at myself and think I was young, just stupidly young in my mind. And now I feel more like a woman. But before I was just a girl.
Oh, that's nice. I like that. Quite Britney Spears.
Yes. I'm just a girl. Yeah.
It's your job, isn't it? I won't do an impression of Britney Spears. Before we end, there's a few things I'm going through right now, so I thought I'd get your take on them. So
yeah,
obviously you're now in a relationship, but when you were single, do you remember getting into your double or king size, bed for the first time?
Yes.
And what did you do with the other side? Because I use it as storage.
Really? I starfished. The whole bed was mine and I slept right in the middle with one pillow.
Just one, yeah.
One in the middle, yeah. Arms and legs open wide. This is me. I'm a star. That's what you should do.
Okay. I don't think I can sleep with that much. I like to curl up in a ball and just have pillows all around me.
Oh, that's nice. But do it in the middle. So have pillow barriers on both sides and snuggle yourself in the middle of your nest.
Nice. I think I sort of sleep diagonally.
Oh, yeah. I like a bit of that. Yeah, yeah.
Because I'm not conventional. I don't like being kept in the box of a bed.
No. Good for you.
and I'm also, because I live in the house that I shared with my practice husband.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm now like redecorating it and making it my own. And, you know, I've put up colourful frames that he wouldn't have liked because he liked white and black frames.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. Do you remember decorating that new flat? And was there a moment when you thought, I'm going to buy this thing and he wouldn't have liked it, but I like it?
No, but before that, I was in our flat together for about a month after I chucked him out. And my auntie, who's a hippie, came round with her white sage and wafted it in every doorway, window and corner of the house, saying, bless this house, rid it of sadness. And it felt like the house had been cleansed then for me. And we opened all the windows, gave it a big old air. And that felt quite good.
Love a bit of saging. I've done that too.
Oh, a little bit of white sage.
I've got a hippie auntie as well.
There you go.
You'll need one. And I also had a moment recently where I did something for the first time as like newly divorced me. I mowed the lawn.
Oh, lovely.
And I'd never done it before. And it felt like a really like, I am strong, powerful, divorced woman moment.
Yes, right.
Do you remember having one of those?
Yeah, I changed the light bulbs. I put a toilet roll holder up. Oh, what's more manly than that? yeah, I like doing that. And I got workmen in to fix the balcony, it was nice not to go, not to wait or say, no, we haven't got the money for that. Or, you know, oh, no, I can do it myself. I would, just nice to go, right, I'm getting the workman round.
Yeah, you don't have to. Because my ex is very like, no, don't worry, I'll do it. Like,
yeah.
Put something up and then you wait for like 6 months and it's still not done. They won't let you get anyone in because they're gonna do it. Jess, thank you so much. It's been brilliant to talk.
Thanks for having me.
And where can people find out more about you online?
They can go to jessrobinson.co.uk, and even better, they can listen to my podcast after they listen to this, if they like it, then get on to Stars in Your Ears, available on all the podcast platforms. It's very silly and fun and frothy and feel good. No politics, just funny, lovely musical stuff.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, hi. Thank you for listening to The Divorce Social with me, Samantha Baines. Please leave us a review. Please, please. It would be super nice. They're lovely to read. They keep me cheery and happy and keep me going. But also, it affects our listing in the podcast charts, which are very important because that's how more people find the podcast. And I'd love to help more people get through those really tough heartbreak and divorce times. And they're more likely to find us if we're higher up on the charts. So if you'd like to leave a review, I'd love you forever. You can leave them on iTunes is the big one, or most podcast platforms do them as well. I'll take all the reviews you've got to give. You can also get in contact on Twitter and Instagram at DivorcePod and at Samantha Baines. We have a website, thedivorcesocial.com, and we have a Patreon account, which means that you can support the podcast for as little as £2 a month. And it helps me with all the admin costs. It also means you have access to our 90s style divorce and heartbreak chat room. And there's lots of exclusives on there, little bits of audio that you don't get in the main podcast, and some giveaways as well. So I'd love to see you over on Patreon. That's patreon.com/Samantha Baines. And please leave a review. Did I say that already? Please leave a review. Love you forever.